Let us pray. Dear Lord, Father God, we come to you in this morning, dear God, with bowed heads and humbled hearts. Father, we thank you for another day. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, and your Holy Spirit, dear God. We ask that as we enter into this worship service, Father, that we be reminded that it's not about us, but all about you. Father, we come to lift up your name and praise you because you are worthy to be praised, dear God. Father, we go through the motions of waking up every day and carrying on sometimes, Father, not focusing on you, dear God, not giving you the glory that's deserved, dear God. And sometimes we even think and have the audacity, Father, to think that we can do all of this on our own. Father, we just ask that you be with us, that you keep us in the proper mindset, dear God, that we be reminded that our lives are to be a living sacrifice for you, dear God, that everything that we accomplish, everything that we do in our purpose is all about pleasing you and serving you and that allowing you to get the glory. Father, sometimes we get besides ourselves, and Father, we just want to apologize and repent for the things that we have done, for those wrongdoings, for the sin in our lives, dear God. So we ask at this moment, dear God, that you purify our hearts and our minds, dear God, that we focus on living how you would have us to live, Father, that we be reminded, dear God, and that we be, that we repurpose in our hearts to get back or to remain consistent in being closer to you and take it a step farther and farther and bring somebody else closer to you. Plant the seed in somebody else, dear God, that they can see you through us, dear God. Help us to be the vessels of faith that you would have us to be. That we put aside all malice and selfishness, dear God, all the things that you show us in your word what not to do. Father, help us to be more loving, more kind. Father, help us to show grace and mercy to others. Father, help us in our mindsets, in our hearts, dear God, to change our thoughts that we can help change our behavior, dear God, because as you say in your word, Father, so is a man thinking, so is he. And sometimes, Father, we just, there's no other way to put it, we get besides ourselves or we just get selfish. And Father, I just ask that you renew our minds, renew our hearts, dear God, that we start over in our mind, reset every single morning to God, every single day, throughout the day, that in the event that you call us home, Father, that we'll be ready, because no man knows the hour or the day in which you will come, nor do we know the hour or day that will be our last breath. So help us, dear Father. Help us to be sincere in our efforts towards you, that we build up this kingdom, dear God, that we be assets to your kingdom. Father, help us understand the true meaning of worship, dear God, and that we give our best in your worship because you deserve the best because you gave your best. Help us not be lackadaisy in our effort, whether it be in our prayer life, dear God, whether if it be in the message that we receive from your word, whether it be in our giving, dear God, in our praise and worship to you. Help us to do everything that we can do, Father, and give it our best. Help us to treat each other right, our spouses, our children, our neighbors, dear God, even ourselves, that we not be distracted in this worship or just in our everyday lives, dear God, that we not be distracted by the distractions that Satan puts in front of us. Help us to eliminate those roadblocks in our lives and the challenges that we face and not succumb to the devil's tactics, dear God. Help us to encourage each other and lift each other up, pour into each other, dear God, because sometimes we smile on the outside, Father, but are dying on the inside from the things that life deals with us or throws at us, dear God. Father, we pray for our children. We pray for those who are traveling. We pray for our ministers and his family as they're out of town. We pray for those who are going through grief and bereavement, dear God. So many of our friends and families and members here have suffered loss of loved ones, Father. We just ask that you be with them, encourage them, lift them up, dear God. We pray for our family members who are traveling, our children, dear God, our family members near and far. We pray for those who are struggling financially and with depression and all the other things, dear God, that life throws at us. Help us to be compassionate, dear God, and help us to exercise the fruits of the Spirit so that, again, others can see you in us, dear God. We ask all of these things with our whole hearts. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. Our scripture reading will be coming from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. Again, that's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation.
And unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Please be seated. I want to thank my God for allowing me to be here, me and my wife. Bring you greetings from the family that meets in Haynesville, Louisiana. I want to thank the brothers that invited me so I could stand before you this morning. Brother Collins invited me to come, and my brother Banks, and his family who continues to encourage me, and he and his lovely wife, and my brother Sidney Reed, who opens up his house, and he and his wife, my sister Valil Reed, and allowed me to be there so that I can be with you this morning. It's good to see a lot of familiar faces. My friend right here looking at me. It's good to see Sister Seal and all the sisters that I've known for quite a while. And a lot of y'all know how Brother Ash is. I'm an old school preacher. As Sister Jenkins would tell you, I'm brimstone and fire. So don't expect nothing else. You know, I always tell people, when I preach to hurt the flesh, but to save the soul. Is that all right, Patrick?
That's all right.
Can we do that this morning? We got to learn that we are the people, as the Bible said, that God has chosen. So we give thanks because God chose us out of the world of darkness and allowed us to be in the kingdom of his dear son. And this is a privilege. Most people are called, but many people are not chosen. So it's a privilege to be in the house of God. And when we look at the topic this morning, I'm going to start in James chapter 3. Y'all got to get back to old school preaching. We're going to begin in verses 8. And then I want you to hear what James said, because James is the brother of Christ. And in his teachings, they used to call him Brother Vaughn, James the Elder, right? So when you're listening to James, listen to him as an elder, your elder, that's speaking unto us this morning. And the Bible says this: but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Listen to it now. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith we bless God. Bless we God, even the Father. And therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessings and cursing. My brethren, These things ought not so to be. That a fountain sent forth both at the same place, sweet and bitter water. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either vine figs? So can no fountain yield both salt and fresh water. So what are we saying this morning? What are we saying this morning? That we as God's children got to understand that this town that we have within our heads, we have to be careful. We got to be careful how we use our tongue. We've been using it to do more evil than good. You know, we come in here this morning and we're looking at the preacher, and the preacher might hurt our feelings a little bit, try to tell us, you know, be careful how you use your tongue. And we get in our cars going home, Sister Seal, and guess what? We use that same tongue that we just sung, oh, how we love Jesus, to talk bad about the preacher. Come on, somebody. You're being a hypocrite. You have to learn how to guard your tongue. Because from that same tongue, your tongue is just revealing unto God what's inside of you. Because your tongue helps you to sin against God. Oh, let's pause there for a second. Your tongue helps us to sin against God. So when our souls, Brother Hicks, end up in that place that's designed for the devil and his angels, we can't get mad at nobody. Because, you know, we are people that, Sister Jenkins, we in love with our emotions. And we're going to tell you, Brother Banks, we got to tell you, Sister Seal, how we feel. You know, when we're going through some things, Patrick, I got to say, when we're going through some things, boy, we tell you, don't come over here. You can get your feelings hurt. But that's the time. That's the time, family. Jonathan, young man. That's the time we got to learn how to stand up for God. When you're going through, see, everybody could sing, oh, how you love Jesus, when everything is all is bright and beautiful. Anybody could sing that, right? But when you're going through some things, you see the true character of a man or a woman. You know, God looks inside of us. See, he don't play this word game that we like to play. We like to think that, you know, if you could speak eloquently, if you could just, you know, put together a good sentence and make us feel good about ourselves, you say, oh, that was a good preacher you sent here, Brother Collins. But if the brother coming and he's saying things to make us, you know, look at ourselves, we get a little upset. I mean, go to Brother Collins, say, Brother Collins, can I talk to you? Don't bring him back no more. Why? Because we have a sin problem. I don't know how to say it. We got a sin problem. Patrick, we in love with sin. We in love with sin. We get up in the morning and the Bible teaches us that we should give thanks. As Jonathan prayed this morning, you get up every morning, you should give thanks that you're allowed to see another day, right? Patrick, our bones might hurt a little bit. We might have to reach for them pills, Sister Seals. But you know what? A lot of people didn't wake up this morning. A lot of people are still laying there waiting for the undertaker to come for them. But God blessed us and allow us to see this day that we have never seen before. And guess what, Brother Banks? We take it for granted. Some folks still at the house say, I ain't going to church, you know, we talk. We should be saying worship. I ain't going to church today. I'ma just stay home. Well, the Bible teaches us that we are going to give an account for everything that we have done in this body. Whether it be good or whether it be bad. One day we're going to have to give an account. So turn your Bibles, if you will, to Psalms chapter 19. Beginning in verses 12. The psalmist says this. Who can can understand his errors. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Because we all do things, you know, we all are weak to certain things. And then he went on to say, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. See, in the military, as Jonathan could help us out with, we used to say, loose lips. Come on, somebody. We talk too much. We talk about things we should not even be talking about. You know, sometimes you're around young folk, Patrick, and they start to speak, and as the older brothers, you go, watch them out. Because somehow we think that, Brother Hicks, the more we speak, that we're in control. You hear me? But they don't understand. It's good to be a humble person and to learn of the Lord. See, two things I try to do in my lifetime. What are the two things, Brother Ash? I try to learn as much as I can about the Lord. That's number one. And the next thing I try to do is to teach it onto his creation. You have to understand that as we all live before God, you have to live before God with a purpose. You understand that what, Patrick? We are trying to go somewhere. I can't get there in the state that I'm in right now. I can't. You say what you want. You know, Brother Banks had that great lesson this morning about grace. I'm going to need some grace to get there. As hard as I try, I understand in my natural way of thinking that for me to get to that place, my purpose has to be that servant of God who can use what he's given unto me to edify others. You know, we use our mouths in our marriage to sin against God even in our homes. And all the while, as we do those things, we need to understand that our God is still paying attention. Our God is still looking at us because he understands that we got a lot of actors in the church. You hear me? Hey, Sister Cecilia, with me this morning? We got a lot of actors in the church. Come Sunday morning, hey, Brother Banks, come Sunday morning, we come in here, boy, we put on that mask, we look so good. We sing the songs, oh, so sweetly. We pray and we come before God in such a gentle, humble manner. Boy, we leave the building and somebody cut us off. What happened to that, all that? What happened to all that, persona? What happened to all that? So you're saying, I'm just going to come and put on a show on Sunday. And when I leave the building, I'm continue to be a devil. Is that what we're saying? That's why the Bible says hell has enlarged its mouth. Because it's only God's saints are going to get to God. You could cry all you want. You know some folks, Brother Banks, they say, well, when I leave this earth, I want Patrick to lead the songs and I want Jonathan to lead the prayer and let Brother Collins do the eulogy for me. It don't matter who you choose. If you live as a devil, come on, somebody. I know you don't want me to finish that. If you live as a devil, hello, somebody. See, people need to understand that our Lord wants us to use our tongue to edify others. The Bible says in Mark 16:15, and in Mark 16:15, the Bible says, and he said unto them, go ye into the world and preach what? The gospel to every creature. So what you be saying, Brother Asher, I got to go home and whoever's in the house, I got to preach to them? Oh, yeah. He said, Brother Asher, when I'm on my job and, you know, with the lunchroom and we're sharing sandwiches and you got some spare time, you could use it to preach God's word? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Every creature. You preach it to the folks you like or you preach it to the folks you don't like. I don't know why we think because you look like me and I look like you, they're the only people that God wants you to preach to. God wants us to preach his word to every soul because our Father made every one of us. The Bible teaches us that God took a clump of dirt and he breathed into it his breath of life. As I told my sister yesterday, that yeah, we're such a evil people. We come into this world, Brother Banks, with nothing. You heard me this morning? We come into this world with nothing. Ain't no man could say, Sister Jenkins, they came into this world with something. But while we're here in this world, guess what? We're trying to get everything. But when leaving time comes, guess what, Patrick? We still leaving with nothing. That's why I tell people, Brother Banks, there's one thing you can't teach stupid. You know what that is? Common sense. You got to learn to read between the lines, like old folk used to say. You got to learn to understand that while you're here, the only things that are of value are spiritual things. I have to learn to be better tomorrow than I was today. Tend to get excited on me here, Brother Banks. See, today, I could use today to get right before God. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I can use today to get right before God. This is the time that God has granted me and you to get right. But most of us, we continue to to defy God. Because, you know, as folks say, we think we God. And we look at the examples around us. And we say to ourselves, well, this is what I'm gonna do. But I thought you were a servant of God. So the question is, are you doing what God has called you to do? Can you honestly say that the one who gave you his bread of life, that you are using this time to please him and not yourself? See, most people are selfish. Most people are selfish to an extreme. We are in love with ourselves. And if we come in the building and Jonathan ain't singing the song how we like it, we gonna tell folk, yo, don't let Jonathan sing no more. He ain't doing it for me. Well, the problem is with that is we are here to please God. The song lead is here to please God. The preacher's here to please God. The guy that does the prayer is here to please God. So nothing that we do should be personal because, I think I missed you on the curb, because we're all here to please God. Without pleasing God, how are you going to get that unmerited favor called grace, Brother Hicks? How are you going to receive that favor? See, because we live in the world of evil, and we see what the world is doing, and some of y'all even look at your president. Yeah, I ain't going to pray for him. He evil. Well, let me give you a good example. Brother Banks spoke about the Assyrians. I'm going to use this example. Then God's people start acting up. Go read the book in Isaiah chapter 8. Those same Assyrians then didn't want to be, as my boy said this morning, they don't want it. Like them Jews. Guess who God sent to destroy them? The same Assyrians. Although later, he destroyed Assyrians. But the point is, when we start being devils, when God, as I would say, gets tired of us, He's going to send those same people we don't like to rule over us. You know, as folks say, you know, when we had the COVID, Sister Jenkins, he said, God got to do some purging. We got too many hypocrites. The church house is full, but ain't nobody going home. So when God decides to purge his people, now we want to cry out, he put that devil over me. No, hey. God didn't tell you the devil was coming, but you refused to obey God. So God said, all right, I guess it's show and tell. I'm going to have to let you see that I'm God. See, one thing I love about being part of the Church of Christ, I understand the calling of my Christ. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, the Bible says, the Lord says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But here, Lord, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. I should come on to you, right? And I'm a sinner, and I want to change my ways. And Brother Banks, he accepted, he brought me over here and put me in the water. But now that second teaching, I got a problem with it. Because what you want me to do, Lord, this change that you want me to change, it's kind of hard for me. Because what you want me to do, Lord, is give up my present way of living. You want me to give up my present way of thinking. You want me to look at the world through different eyes and to accept what you have said over what's happening around me. Is that what you're saying, Lord? Lord, look at you dead in your eyes and say, yep, that's what I'm saying. Because guess what? When Christ came into this known world, can you imagine? See, being the first at anything, people don't understand what it is to be the first at anything. When you were the first at anything, you have no examples to follow. You can't say, well, I see how this person did it. As folks say, you shooting in the dark. Because what the dark is, what it is for you, you're only listening to the words of the one that sent you to perform his will so you could make it through to get to the other side. So when Christ came and the Lord said, well, I'm going to send you now, but I'm going to make you be born of a woman. And I want you to get out there and teach my people how to come to me. And I want you to help them to understand. I desire them to be spiritual people. What's the difference between saints and sinners? What's the difference between spiritual people and religious people? Spirituality, which is perfection in Christ, which is holiness in Christ, will help you, what? To put on Christ. See, we've been baptized, but a lot of us haven't put on Christ. You know, we went in the water. Some of us just went in the water and came back out the same devils that we were. Because we do not accept that procedure. You know, and for folks who were in the military, Pastor, I got to tell you, boy, you go out there in the military and you go through that boot camp and you see some folk, you're like, what? You went through 3 months and you still come back out 3 months later and you back doing you? You understand the process of becoming a Marine? First they strip you down, and then they build you up with their theology. It's the same thing Christ does for us. He wants us to be stripped down to the lowest denominator, so he can build us back up. But we too busy talking.
They say for me, bro. You know, I can't be humble to nobody talking crazy to me. I don't care how long he been preaching. Yeah, I know she be leading song for 30, 40 years, but she ain't gonna talk to me crazy. I know I'm baritone and I'm gonna do what I'm gonna do.
So then, if faith come by hearing and hearing by every word of God, how have you changed to please God? Have you stopped talking less because you recognize you don't know stuff? Or do you still continue to, as folks say, run at the lips, trying to fool the whole world as you lose your soul? How have you changed? Just take some, let's process it now. Let's process it. How have you changed so that you can save your soul? How have you changed? Do you speak differently to people? Can you look at folks that are going through tragedy in their lives and speak kind words and not speak like man? Because when I'm at my lowest, I need you to pick me up. I don't need you to stamp on me. I'm at my lowest. What are you trying to do? How far down you want me to go? I'm at my lowest. Yeah, okay. Let's lose that. Yeah, okay. They saw me climbing through the bedroom window. I'm a married man. I'm dealing this up with my wife. I'm trying to get right. But instead of you encouraging me, yeah, I heard you been climbing through the window, brothers. So now, the devil got a 2-for-1 now. Because some of y'all read, Brother Banks, for all have sinned. See, family, you got to recognize and realize that as God's children, we have to get right before we go home. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 18, the Bible says, "My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." See, when you tell people you love them, family, 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, And you know, we have this way of living these days, and you hang up the phone baton, you go, "I love you," click. We don't really love you. We're just saying that. That's the popular thing to say. But you say it, mean it. Because what if that person on the other phone say, "You know, well, I'm going through some stuff now. I need you to come and help me." Don't try to act like you're busy now. I thought you said you love me. So if you love me, you will learn how to sacrifice for me. That's why the Bible says, let us not love in word or in tongue. We have to learn how to love in truth. As old folks used to say, let us learn to what? Whatever you say, mean it. You know, back in the day, old folks say, folks come and say, "Can I fix your garage or can I help you do this farm? You just shook on it." "Yeah, you're gonna be here at 3 o'clock tomorrow." "Yes, sir." 3 o'clock, whoo. These days, folks, you tell folks, I'm moving at 12. I'm gonna see all them Monday at 12. Most for y'all, "I'm coming. I'll be over there, Brother Ash. I'm coming. We'll knock this out and get it over done quick." Yeah, uh-huh. "I wanted to be there, but In James chapter 1, verses 28, verses 26. James 1, 26. The Bible says, If anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion Come on, somebody. I don't mean what scriptures you want. You have to learn that what comes forth from you now that you are in Christ better be stuff to help folk out. If you don't know, it's easy to say, I know, let me go look it up. Like this morning, Brother Banks say, what was Abraham? What was that guy with Abraham? And I was thinking, you know, I can remember. I know. I just come up with a name to look good. You don't know. I don't know. Learn to be truthful. You know, most folks can't even be honest today. You know, I remember in the town when this place was this place used to be packed, Brother Banks. You remember those days? Brother Seals, remember those days? You come here, boy, you know, say, this is my seat. Folk could come and stand over their seat. Paul, we used to have to open up the call it overflow, right? We used to have to open up the overflow, Brother Banks. Oh, man, yeah. Let's open up over here, too. What happened, Sister Seal? What happened? Folks say, well, you know what happened, Brother Ash. No. We chose not to come anymore. Don't let what's going on around you cause you to act different. When you choose, like my brother Reed would say, grown folk make grown folk decisions. Say all you can say what you want to say all day long. When you decide not to come, or when you decide to tear the church down with your mouth, like a lot of us did, when you decide to tear the place down, it's why it is what it is today. Stuff happens. I don't care what you say. You could be married, unless some folk like to say, I'm celebrating 100 years of marriage, Brother Ash. Ask him about the hard time. You're going to go through some stuff. But when you're going through some stuff, you got to learn to be resilient. You don't give up. Oh, woe is me. You're supposed to be a saint. You know what a saint is? A saint is someone that endures to the end. So I understand that so-and-so might be coming or so-and-so ran off, but guess what? Here am I, Lord. You can send me to do some work. I understand, you know, the place and or the people are not what it's supposed to be, but I'm going to use my voice not to tear down, but to build up. You know, you see the faithful few working, and the faithful few take some beat up, I tell you. When you're trying to be perfect, the devil is coming for you. You hear me? And the faithful few, you just got to keep on keeping on, Brother Banks. Because you recognize that we are living in a world where the prince of this world is the devil. Let me be clear. The prince of the world is the devil. And the devil will make you say some stuff that you should not have said. You ever, Patrick, I don't know about you. You ever said some things, Sister Seal, and you wish you had a vacuum, you could vacuum it right back as soon as it's coming out of your mouth? Because we are so emotional. We are so living in this natural world. That we like to gauge everything by what's going on around us. We see people going through trials and tribulations, and the only thing we can say, I understand, girl, but guess what happened to me? My mama died too. So, hey. This is that sister mama time, not your mama time. You, I think I hit some corns there, Patrick. No? Okay. The Bible says in Psalms 34. This is what the Bible says. Beginning in verses 13. Hope it's up there. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Guile means you're being slick with it, but it's still evil. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hear it, and deliver them from all their troubles. What are you saying, Brother Ash? See, when you're going through some things, family, and the devils start talking bad about you, as they do, you know what they do. You got to remember, if you remain a saint unto God, when you cry, come on, Brother Bangs, I remember Brother Fraser came here and sung that song, when you fall on your knees, guess who's listening to you? That's why I take all my troubles to the Lord. I don't tell it to my wife. I don't tell it to no brother or no sister. I tell it to the one who hears me and understands me. The proverb writer says this. The proverb writer says in Proverbs chapter 15, verses 4. He says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach of the spirit. So what you saying, Brother Ash? What I'm saying this morning, I'm trying to bring this lesson to a close. You and I have been serving the devil with our tongue for too long. We need to stop it. Let me go on this side. You and I have been serving the devil too long with our tongue. We need to stop it. We got to understand that God requires us to serve him in a manner that pleases him and not us. We got to understand that this gift God has given unto us, it's not for us to hold on to, but for us to share it with others. You say, oh, Brother Ash, you know, I'm a great speaker, you know. I graduated cum laude from yada, yada, yada. My GPA is 4.0, and I'm doing so much in the world. I'm a great speaker and this and that. Then you come in here and the sister say, can you teach a class? No, I can't teach. Mm-mm. Can you sit down and spend some time and counsel some folk who going through some stuff, who lost their parents? You lost like 10 family members, but guess what you say? No, can you find somebody else? So what are you doing with your talent? So if God was a God now, say, well, if you ain't using it, I'm going to take it away. What are you going to do? Huh? If God, let's just fantasize, as I would say, Brother Banks. I called you. I changed you. Now I need you to assist others in changing. But every time I tell you to hold on the olive branch, what you tell me? No. I can't do it. Devils are not going to heaven. I don't care how you pray. It's only those that are in Christ. Got a lot of folk among us still believing the devil. They come to the building, they sit down, they act like they're hearing the preacher. I really don't care. Because guess what, brother? I'm trying my best to get there. If you don't want to go, that's all right with me. But I'm trying to get there. I'm trying to encourage those who want to get there to pursue that path. But if you choose not to, ain't nothing I can do. Folks say, hey, Brother Ash, you know, so what's your point? My point is, stop all that talking. Stop talking about things you have no clue about. Preach the word. That's what you should know. Draw your wife closer to Christ. You understand? You know, you're living in the house and you're living with that person 30, 40 years. You don't know they're devils? Come on, somebody. You don't think it's to take some time and teach them what God says? So you love them, but you don't mind they're going to hell? Come on, somebody. When we going to make some time for God? Say, well, God, you know, it's Sunday, but I ain't got no time today. What about Monday? You know, I got to go to work, right? Work 12 hours, God. So I ain't got no time tomorrow. And we keep going on and on as the years pass. Then when God finally called us home, we want to cry out, oh, God, you didn't help me when I need help, God. God said, I sent preachers to you. You ain't listen. I sent folks to teach you God's word. You still won't change. What do you want me to do? That's why the calling of Christ is a personal thing. And God requires all of his creation. If you're not in Christ, are you among us this morning? You cannot. Folks, well, why is the baptism so important? You cannot get to where you need to go without the Messiah. I don't care what you say, how much you pray. You know, some folks are, but I'll read the Bible, but I'll pray. God ain't hearing you till you become obedient. You got to understand that God sent one Son, he's one God, and there is one faith. And that's it. When you understand this concept, then you would decide to what? Does a drowning man, I don't care who he is, does he look for a boat or somebody to help him out? Yes. Same way with you. When you recognize, see, people don't change till the reality of their state hurts less than the reality of change. Hurts more, I mean, than the reality of change. I'm not changing till I recognize I can go to hell. I'm a change now. I'm ready for the water, Brother Banks. Because guess what? My state, I recognize, is not good, but I want to get to glory. So the Bible says what? Faith come by hearing, and hearing by every word of God. You got to be taught. I don't care who you are. Some folk want to come into church and jump in the water and come back out like they're Jesus. You don't know nothing. You ever seen a baby come out and teach you anything? What's wrong with you? You got to learn to shut up, sit down, be taught. And after you heard the God's word, here's the tricky part. Do you believe in the one that was sent? You got to believe in Christ. That's the one that was sent to help you, right? And then you got, then here comes the third part. You got to change your wicked ways. Woo! That's the tricky part for us. You want to get baptized and still go to the casino? Come on, somebody. Woo! But after you've decided to change your ways, next thing you got to do, you got to confess, baby. You got to let God know, I'm willing to go that extra mile with you because I believe that you sent the Messiah to save me. I believe it. I don't know if he sent to save Brother Vaughn, but I know he sent to save me. So I'm ready.
You ever seen people that are truly ready? Ooh, I remember you had some Marines back in my day. He said, that boy's ready to jump off the cliff for you. Got it ready. You got to have that type of spirit. I'm ready for change. Because if you're ready for change, coming ain't going to help you. And after you say you're ready, it's time to go commit. You know, a lot of we got different men these days. Men ain't like they used to be back in the day. A lot of, I love you, baby. And rah, rah, rah. You gonna get married? I know. They don't want to commit. As we used to say back in the day, they don't want to jump that broom. You gotta learn to commit. You must be baptized. Without baptism, there is no salvation. I don't care who teach you what. I don't care what a preacher on the TV told you. I don't care what your mama told you, what your daddy told you. If you don't get baptized into Christ, heaven will not be your home. You must be baptized. As the Bible says in Acts 2:47, when you get in that water, you come in contact with the blood of Christ, my Christ will add you to his family. That's what the kingdom means. It's only one family in Christ. You want to be part of the family? You got to go through the process of what Christ has done. The Bible says when my God came to be baptized, when it's time for the Lord to be baptized, he came to John. And John said, I need to be baptized by you. What did the Lord said? Suffer it to be so. See, he's teaching us. The Bible is a book of teaching you how to change. What do you mean by suffer it to be so? The Bible says, my Lord, he went into the watery grave of baptism. He came out that water. Come on, somebody. And God said from heaven, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. See, when you see your children doing right, when God sees us doing right, you will understand why you should please God and stop pleasing you. You answer, I say, you know what? If that's what God wants, it's what I'm going to do because I don't have tomorrow. And I want to be with God someday when I leave this earth. I hope, trust, and pray something was said here to encourage you to remain faithful unto God. Those of you that have been straying awake, you know, all of us, we get a little wishy-washy. We got to turn back on those jets, renew our commitment to God, and remain faithful until he calls us home. Because death is part of life. You can say what you want to say. You're going to die. You got to be prepared for death. So when God calls us home and we get there with God, he will say unto us, Brother Vaughn, well done, my good and faithful servant. God bless you and keep you. Thank you. Pray this morning that something was said to encourage you to come to God. The voice of God is calling you that you should come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
Who at the door is standing, patiently drawing near, interest within demanding, who is the voice I hear? And sweetly the tones are falling, open the door for me. If thou wilt heed my calling, I will abide with thee.
Amen, amen. I hope something was said to encourage each and every one of us to learn how to bridle our tongue. As the Bible says, the tongue will cause you to lose your soul. So I pray as we go forward that we be better for God in the future. God bless you and keep you. Thank you.